you asked a few days ago a sort of general introduction about how context works. Well, the problem, of course, is that for context users, the experienced context users, this is actually a bit boring, probably, but maybe they have forgotten how to run it by now, so I will start with a couple of simple examples of at least, so that at least you can see what the what the way is that we well, basically think, the way of thinking in context, and I will probably also introduce a couple of things that might be of interest to new to existing users. Okay, so I think that most people know that you start documents and end documents with two commands, start text, stop text, and anything in between is processed. So there is no need to load anything. We have a couple of test files in context that you can always load and do things with. So let's say I input a file, see the file's processed, and I get some results. Yeah, this is standard computer modem. It's just sample text, and it's processed. Problem is that we have a small screen here, and we want to see our examples. Right, so let's set up a different paper size. And this is, I think, one of the differences between, for instance, LaTeX and context, is that it's not that you say I load a specific style and then get my stuff done, but you are supposed to set up your own document. And I think that that's one of the reasons why some people, if they get a question, what is context, and the answer is, well, it's something that a variant of plain, yeah, assuming that anything that you have to key in yourself is a backslash is something plain. Okay, set up paper size. I choose format S6. S6, as you can see, paper format. It is paper size. And there are two commands. Set up two pieces. So what you see now, text is slightly bigger than it was, and it is because we have chosen, in this case, one of the predefined screen sizes, S6. So if you give demos, it's always handy to have this size. It automatically gets mapped onto the S6 paper size. So you have a sort of subtle difference between this. You set up a page, and that's not necessarily the same as the thing that you print on. And so, for instance, you can say A4, I set up a paper size, let's say the paper size I have in my mind that I project everything on, but it will be printed on A3. So this will be slightly different. Yeah. You see, this is an A3 paper size, and the layout, everything, is set upon A4. We can visualize this with show frame.
Show.
It's so big now on my screen that I... Yeah, so we see a bit how the page is set up. It ends up in the top left corner, so say that we don't want that. Yeah, now it's in the middle, location equals middle. Okay, so if you set up a document, one of the things that you probably will do is to change basically, if you are at least in the US, change your paper size to letter. If you are in Europe, you probably won't use this command unless you are using a different paper size. This is also the way you normally, if you make a document, will make a style. You will start keying in, and if you find out that something should change, then you change it instead of choosing some style beforehand. So let's assume that we don't need this stuff. We just work on A4. Yeah? Another thing you might want to do is to choose a different font. And again, there is no general solution that I cannot choose your font, and I'm not giving you a style which predefines some kind of font. Just choose the one you want. And there are quite some fonts predefined. Yes, yes, is preferred font. Deja Vu. Yeah. And it's one of the predefined fonts, so you can set it up this way. Deja Vu is actually a bit large font compared to Computer Modern, so we make it smaller. Now you have more or less usable size. So again, there's one command to set up the font. Of course, you define your own fonts, your font sets, whatever. This is done in so-called TypeScript files, a bit beyond an introduction. In many cases when users want to use a new font, they come up with a question on the list, and then somebody says, oh, I've already done that, defined that, and provides you the TypeScript to do it. Context, a lot of in context is about structure. So let's add some structure. And I will do it the Mark 4 way. I'm not sure if there are still context users using the Mark 2 way. Can still be done. This is now nowadays the way you do it. So instead of this, we explicitly tell where to begin and end. This has an advantage. One of the advantages is that in your document source you more clearly can see where you begin and end something. If you're somewhere at further on in your document and you have, for instance, sections, if you don't see this part, say that you maybe you're editing here, at least you have an idea that you're ending a section or not. So it has some benefits, additional benefits. Okay, so we can render it, you get titles. Yeah, my title, my subtitle. What's the other advantage of this way of starting and ending structural component is that we can provide much more. So here we can say that something should go to the list, or there should be something for a bookmark or a reference. Yeah, you can, all these things that you normally use a chapter title for can be set up there in one place. Has again certain advantages. The interesting thing is all this information is carried around the system, so at each point you have access to it. Well, another thing that somebody not familiar with the system might want to know is how do you set up, for instance, an itemize. It goes like this. Most of documents don't do much more than sectioning, itemize, and maybe a table here or there. Again, we use start stop stuff everywhere. So I could have got an itemized list here. If I wanted to have characters. Oh. This is one of the things where Acrobat hasn't changed to the better. Okay, so I have A, B instead of these bullets. I can have more directives there, like I want to have the stuff packed. Yeah? So this is still having white space in between. So here you can. No, you don't have the white space between the. And there are a lot more options. So you can use the stuff nested, of course. So then. Another aspect of, let's say, an average document, an itemize, tables. There are several mechanisms for making tables. Tabulate, and the reason is that each table, this kind of table, has its own peculiar rules, like spacing and whatever. So we don't use ampersands and other kind of funny characters, but we do use the vertical bar. This you can add directives like it's left aligned or right aligned. Yeah, so this is a tabulate. The nice thing about tabulate is it will split automatically across page boundaries, and that even goes quite far in the sense of if I put some more text in there, I need to need much more text. Here it actually splits between. Make one big paragraph, then it's easier to see. Yeah, the paragraph is split across pages. So this is an important characteristic of the tabulate mechanism. So if you have, let's say you're writing your first document, you probably don't need more than a bit of structure, like sectioning, a bit of itemized, this kind of tables. The rest is there, yeah, for everybody to use, but maybe floats is also something that shows up soon. Actually we can do it. No, it isn't not really a figure now, but very small one, some text here. That's a real thing. So you have an image there. There's a subtitle, and again, there's a start stop command. There's actually still the old backslash place figure command, but this is more in tune with the rest of the interface. Title equals test, and the reason for introducing this is again that we want this kind of more explicit setting, and it will place your image in this case somewhere where it fits best. Is this enough for a quick introduction?
How about math?
Math.
Yeah.
Well, math is done in most cases the same as in as in any other system. You know, math is so generic for tech that if you can do one kind of math, you can probably do all kinds. So this is math, and there are things like this. Now you have a display formula. Yeah. So it's start formula, stop formula, and just the. Of course, there are commands also for this, but I think most math users will still use the dollar signs. There's one, I think, important aspect here compared with Mark II is that these special symbols, they're used, you can use them in math, but in text mode they are just, text symbols. So there are no, in that sense, far less special characters in context nowadays than in Mark IV than in Mark II. For a short time, that's what we called non-Knus mode. Mm-hmm. We had don-Knus mode and non-Knus mode, and now non-Knus mode is default.
Sort ASCII mode.
Sort ASCII mode, yeah. And
then that is the backslash ASCII mode command, where only backslash and braces are active.
Backslash braces, I think dollars here still have a meaning. I think ASCII is even going further, yeah. There's
ASCII mode, then even the dollars don't have any.
Even the dollars are not special anymore, so you use the backslash mouse or whatever command. And even the command sign is no command sign anymore, because it happens quite often that we got requests from users say, well, I'm in this or that kind of financial kind of typesetting, and I really want the percent to be a percent, and not an and the dollar to be a dollar and not something mass. And the way out then is that you even in ASCII mode, you can still, if you have 2% signs, it's still the command. So you can still have commands, because it's pretty unlikely that such a person will have 2% signs in a row. I think that's more or less enough for covering the basics. Unless there are...
Okay.
You have more questions?
About bibliography.
The
bibliography, the references.
Reference bibliographies. Okay. We do support the more or less standardly used bibliography references system that BibTeX offers. Long ago, Taco wrote macros for that, and we have ported them to Mark IV. So that they use the underlying mechanisms like building lists and whatever for Mark IV. There are a couple of variants. There's an experimental XML backend so that you can use that kind of approach and all kind of filterings related to that. And Jean-Michel will tomorrow, I think, it's tomorrow, yeah, will show how bibliographies can be done using ML BibTeX. So there are several methods. Okay. A label.
Reference.
It is there's reference, yeah. Because I'm thinking, what was the other reference text? Yeah, but I need something.
Dat
is
laatste gebruik,
de
gisteren.
The thing is, I always generate the stuff nowadays from XML. I don't see these. There may be in a style, but then still okay, Willy? See chapter 1. It always generates one, but it doesn't matter. It's chapter 1 and it refers to chapter 1. Yeah.
And verbatim states.
Verbatim, okay. So this you have for bibliography reference, you have the same system. It all uses the same referencing system.
Mm-hmm.
So you can ask for sites and all stuff. Yeah. Verbatim. Start typing. Yes. So this is verbatim now. We can make it a bit more techy. Yeah, so verbatim is just start typing, stop typing, and in the running text is this.
Mm-hmm.
And you can set up environments. So you can say that I have three or four different kinds of verbatim. You can, and that's true for all these things. You can say something like define typing and have a new typing class with specific maybe font settings or other things. And use that kind of stuff. But that's more or less the next level of contexting. So what more will?
Maybe now it says figure 1-1. What if I want to have this in German, like Abbildung?
Yeah, so main language will switch all the labels. It also changes the hyphenation rules then, of course.
Mm.
Yeah? More questions about this kind of stuff?
Can you switch on the way from one language to another?
In the middle, yeah, you can halfway, you can say switch to Polish. So the main language determines the labels.
Mm.
So I can do this. Normally you then do this this way, yeah?
It's for hyphenation.
For hyphenation, yeah. So you can mix multiple languages. This has always been... this is actually not something new, it's always been there. In the past you had of course the issue that you automatically also needed to change the font encoding to make sure that if you change the Polish that you get OpenMatch, yeah, and not something that is... So the encoder was... There used to be a Mark II, that's a PDF that approached an encoding issue. That's no longer there because of Unicode. Yeah. Actually, if talk about languages, lots of funny features in context, like you can do spell checking. So if you have a word list, you can enable a feature that will color all your wrongly spelled words and things like that. It's a bit beyond that, but so language is just like fonts, it's a complete subsystem with specific properties. For instance, the Abbildung, you can define your own labels, use them, they will adapt, etc., etc. Yeah.